Blog Talk Radio.
Jeez. That's fine. Rather than do all my work.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my greatest path, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversary, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity.
Are you ready? Zoom is going. Zoom is up. Wow. Good morning, community of faith. Good to have you with us today. Just letting all the zones hook up and hook in. Internet zone.
Good morning, good morning. It is a beautiful Sunday morning again.
All right.
And we're working at getting there.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Beautiful day here in North Dakota. Glad to have you with us. I think we've actually made it all the way up to like a balmy 23 degrees. But that is balmy around here.
It is.
And it's a beautiful day here. We've got a powerful word from God. And thank you for being a part of what we're doing.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We truly do thank you. Appreciate your family-ness. Appreciate who you are in our lives. And we thank you. We truly thank you. Got a good word from the Lord?
Sorry. How are you this morning? Good to see you here. went to church and learned all about the deception of evil. Wow.
All right. Might as well get started this morning. So let's pray together and we'll get ourselves started today. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love and your mercy and your grace in our life. Thank you that every single day of our life, the moment we awake, you view us as your children, your sons, and your daughters. You view us as your ambassadors, kings and priests for you on this earth, ministers of reconciliation. Thank you that you put the seed of every bit of it on the inside of us, in your word, in your spirit, you and the Father living amongst us. Thank you for that. We are your children, and we do love you, and we do walk with you today. And so, on this day, we give you glory and honor and praise for your holy word. It's filled with life and answers for every part of our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless every person who's here today. Bless those who are trying to be here today. Bless those
who are on their way.
Who are on their way. Father, there's many people around the internet who on this day need this message from you through a pastor, a man of God, anointed by you to do your work. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That they can find this place. And we have these platforms. We have your beautiful spirit on the inside of us. We can share the joy of the Lord who is our strength on the inside of us today with everyone around the world, wherever they may be. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. All right, if you will, open your Bibles with me. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to be reading from the story of the prodigal son. And on the last 24 hours, actually 36 hours, as we had Saturday off. God really ministered to me about this story that Jesus taught. And we're going to read it. We're going to deal with it because he painted me a picture that I have never seen before in the entirety of it and the glory of it. So, welcome as we read. If you will, hold your Bible up this morning. And we will make our confession about the Word of God. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of
God. Is making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life today.
In my life today.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a
in my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and
in
body.
Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Here we go. Luke chapter 15, Verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and then there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. Pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Squander all your stuff, and all those you squandered with don't do a blessed thing for you. So no matter what you do, don't squander your stuff. Because if you don't, if you squander your stuff, they're not going to respect you anymore. And when you're laying there in the muck, they're not going to come help you. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Isn't that something? Make me like one of your hired servants. And he's an heir.
And he's an heir.
Mm-hmm. And he's an heir. Somebody say good morning to Roger so he knows we can see him.
Good morning, Roger.
Where is he? On Facebook. Just post in there, good morning, Roger. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Pause for a minute. For this is my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Hold on. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. He was a servant. He was serving with his father as a servant. And that's not what his father wanted. Watch this. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has delivered your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said of him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found. Now, many times throughout church history, this message has been said about people who were going astray and have decided to come back. But God painted me a picture this week that is so much different than that. And you and I are going to look into it today. Now, let me welcome a few people. Michael Carr, Brother Al Barton, Roger Oxy, Phyllis K. Raymond. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
And glad to have you with us. Now, think about this fact. Look at what the Father just said. This is Luke 15, 11 through 32 is the references. And I'm going to go down to verse 29. So he answered to his father, this many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. This is the picture that God showed me in the last couple of days. Had the son gone off in sin? Yes. Had he done wickedly? Yes. Did he need to return home and be right with the father? Yes. Was the father pleading for his son to come home? Yes. Now see, all of that is the message we've heard. But I want you to see a different picture. The father didn't just want him to come home and stop sinning and become a servant again. The father wanted him to come home and be his heir.
Yes, amen.
To be the royal member of the family right beside the father. The king no longer wanted a servant. He wanted his son to be a prince, not a servant. And you can see that both of the sons had seen themselves as just servants of the family heir, the heirloom or the inheritance. Now, when you think about you and I and how many times we've used these verses on the prodigal son, for the prodigals to come home, well, that's appropriate, but don't sell the prodigal short on the revelation that's available. Because God doesn't want you to just come out of sin. There, I stopped sinning, and now I come back to church so I can be a church in these Christianity eyes. God wants you to be an heir. God wants you to know who you are in him.
Amen.
He wants you to know who you are in him. Welcome, Sonny. Good to have you with us. If you can't tell, internet's being crazy today, so I can't see everybody's comments, but keep making them, keep saying hi, and sooner or later we'll be by to say hi to you. And most of all, let's preach the word.
Amen.
I have learned now. Ain't no sense of stopping and saying anything because can't do nothing about what's going on anyways. They're going to be funny. Now watch this. Go with me now to Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Philemon, you might be like, well, I don't know that place, Pastor. Is that an Old Testament or New Testament? That is right before the book of Hebrews. First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Philemon 1, 6. Look at what Philemon says. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Want to say it with me? Say, by this verse, I will know how to share my faith. Now, most certainly I'm going to preach it to you. Faith's going to grow in your heart right now. As you are being established in this word, you're going to be like, wow, that's good. But now in order to make that faith work in your life, you can't just hear a message. You got to take that faith and go mix it with your word, with your actions. Everything about faith is go and do. Now watch this. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Now, we've not forgotten on about the prodigal son. He's still standing over there looking at us saying, I'm the focus here. But I want you to see these verses. Paul said to Philemon, that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Because God doesn't want someone to just get born again, so they're no longer in the sinner club, they're in the born again club. God wants everyone who comes to him to come to him from the point of view of, you have now become an heir of the kingdom of heaven.
Now, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Anybody want to say it? I am an heir. Sunday and Leanne, if you guys can make another comment over there in YouTube, I'll see if those comments pop up for me. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Think about it. When the word of God comes to you, like it's coming today, you take that word, you mix it with faith, which is you seeing it with your eyes, speaking it with your mouth, hearing it with your ears, getting it down in your heart. And now that word, when you grab it, mix it with your faith of speaking it for yourself, that creates the revelation on the inside of exactly what it is that that God is saying to us today. Now, let's go back to the book of Luke again. Luke chapter 15. And let's go to verse 12. Luke 15, verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Look up this next statement. So he divided to them his livelihood. Morning, Rebecca. Welcome. Good to have you with us today. He divided. The father, when the son came and said, I want what's mine, father said, well, the father probably said a lot of things when he's dividing his inheritance to his son, but he gave it to him and probably said, don't spend it foolishly, you know. And evidently it was a pretty large substance, right? Because he was able to go and spend the time. I think it says for a year, right? Well, maybe not. Anyways, but he went somewhere else and began to waste it. Well, of course, that's how we see the prodigal son. And he lost his salvation, or he lost his courage about church, and off he went to go do something else. But what God is showing us here is the Father has a kingdom, and he's the king. But he's not just the king, he's the Father of you and I. When you and I are born again, it's not born again to get you saved. There, oops, there, now you got saved. Whew, finally got that done. No, it's to take you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of light.
Amen.
You are now an heir of God, the creator of the universe. You're an heir of the creator of the whole universe. That means what's up there in that universe belongs to you and to me. Now, I know we go here often, but let's just go nail it down again, because we've got to nail it down again. Romans chapter 8, verses 11, and then 14 through 17. Romans chapter 8, let's look at it again, because we've got to see this, and right now today, I want you to grab a hold of this thing with me and say, I choose to see my place in God, not only today, but every day.
Every day.
I choose to see who I am in God every day of my life. Welcome, Roger. Good to have you. It's good to have you with us in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 11. Thank you, Rebecca. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, let's change it. Back up. Got to preach the message God gave you. If you're born again, you can change the but if to since, and you should. Well, Pastor, I didn't know you can change the Bible. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm changing the English that's in the Bible. I'm just taking the Bible and making it personal in my life. I see that Brother Al and Brother Michael were with us. Al, thanks for being with us. May God bless you. It's good to see your smiling face, brother. Michael, here's a message that's right where you are right now, buddy. Why don't you get your Bible out and look at this? Since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit is the one and only Holy Spirit. He is dwelling in you. As soon as you are born again, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. Jesus is on the inside of you. God our Father comes to make his abode on the inside of you. Since that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, look at what this says. He who raised Christ from the dead, all the way from hell, all the way from the dead, all the way to earth, and all the way to seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. That Holy Spirit is giving life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, I know that the word that they use is will also give life. And some people say, well, you know, that's a future tense when you get to heaven. No, it's not. Because if that Holy Spirit, it's not just in heaven. That Holy Spirit that's in you right now was the life that brought Jesus from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What? That means that same Holy Spirit is living inside of you. He doesn't stop being Holy Spirit. He can't stop being a life-producing force. He can't stop being a river of living water flowing up out of you. What happens is deception, confusion, erroneous teaching covers him up. So, well, yeah, I have the Holy Spirit, but that's just so I can shooky, shooky, shooky every now and then. No, you don't have a shooky, shooky, shooky. You have the Holy Spirit of God. He resides in you, and he has a special language that is just for you and just for me to use that nobody else can understand on the face of the earth or in the heavenlies except God and the angels.
Amen. Amen.
Let's look at Philemon 1:6 again. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This good thing that is in you is so much more, so much more than just, I got saved. You literally right now have the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling on the inside of you at this very moment, and that Spirit is pumping life. That's why when the Father was sitting out there waiting for his Son to come back, the Father wasn't out there waiting saying, oh, I just hope he comes back and be's my servant. I just want him to be's my servant. If he'll just come back and be's my servant. Well, that's not what he wanted of me. That's not what he wanted of me. The Father knows I am royal. I am a king. I have an inheritance. You are my son. You are living and dwelling right alongside of me right here, right now, today. And when you get this, the sharing of your faith will become so much more powerful what it's been before, because you realize, hold it, I am not trying to in any way at all whatsoever. I am not trying to just get somebody to join up with me and be religious. Yeah. What good is that going to do anybody for somebody to come in here and do what we're doing and just be religious? Well, Pastor, isn't that what God's expected of me? No. 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 You might be like, I never heard anybody teach this before. That's just because you was with the wrong group of people. You got to get with the right group of people that are looking at the whole picture of God's word. Well, Pastor, they get a lot of people saved. Yeah, but is that the last message they teach you? Your last message you hear can't be, you must be born again. The last message you hear, it's got to be, I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Let's go conquer this world. Now we realize there's an assignment laid on our shoulders that we could become right alongside of us the heir of God. Let's read verses 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you were led by the Spirit to be here today. It's working. You're led. These are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit led you here. Amen, Rebecca. The Holy Spirit led you here. Right here. With us. It's a wonderful thing. We're glad you're with us. And we want you to be able to partake of everything that's going on here. We want you to absolutely enjoy with all your spirit, soul, and body, heart, mind, everything. We want you to throw all yourself in and grab everything you can get and be blessed.
Amen.
That's what we want. And every bit of that understanding is in this house. Now watch. So you not only does the Spirit illuminate your heart and mind that you're a son of God. But listen what it says. You did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Fear binds you down. That spirit has been broken. There is no fear in the Holy Spirit. Fear is an enemy. Because it's what destroys your faith. Some people say, yeah, Pastor, I got a fear of heights, so I won't ever get killed falling off something. Well, you don't have to have a fear of heights. Just respect it and be intelligent about where you're at and what you're doing.
Wisdom.
You're going to climb up in a tree and cut it down. How about you know what you're doing before you do that?
You knock yourself off and kill everybody under you, too.
That comes from a very experienced tree guy. Know what you're doing before you get in the tree. All right? But now look what it says. You have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. I know, Pastor. I'm God's son. Hallelujah. Glory be. I'm God's son. Woo! Isn't that wonderful? Let me go get somebody saved. No. Listen to me. He's your father. But you don't have to run off to a different kingdom to get your supply, your job, your duty, or any part of your life. Everything you need is in this kingdom. From your father, who is right here, right now, with us, in Jesus' mighty name. Now watch. 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But it's the next verse that makes it powerful. And if children, then heirs of God and a joint heir with Jesus. See, that's not a servant that's been allowed to come to the family. Now, in the name of God, go to work. And you're still a slave. You are a joint heir with Jesus. That means everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. That means when God looks at Jesus and God looks at you, he doesn't see any difference except that Jesus has the name above every name. But you are just as powerful and have just as much authority with the kingdom of heaven as Jesus does, except because he paid the price, he's worthy and he's God. Pastor, you're making yourself equal with God. No, I'm making myself an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm not divine. They are divine. I'm not the eternal, all-existent one. They are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm just an heir of my Father who created me and born me again. See, all of a sudden, the revelation causes us to have to change. I can't see anything that's there. Everybody pause for a second. Let's try this. Guess what? I got there. But I don't see anything that's bad.
Really?
No. All right. Watch this. Don't worry. That's just part of what's got to happen here for us so that we can deal with what is ours and doesn't belong to the family. There, we got it. Now watch this. Don't worry. We'll just keep right on rolling. That's just how it works around here. And we've learned how to make it happen. So watch. You are an heir. The prodigal son's dad didn't want him to just come back and serve him and go out and slave in the field. The prodigal son's dad, the father wanted him to come back and be alongside of him in building the family dynasty. And to build the kingdom that they had so that this child can now receive this whole kingdom when his father hands it all to him. And you have to be schooled and trained and taught in it. That's why these verses are so important. You could go with me or stay there. Philippians 1:6. I acknowledge my inheritance through Jesus so that I can share my faith effectively. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What's it mean, Pastor? It means this. When you're talking to somebody about their new life as a believer, you're not trying to just cast out the demon. What good is that going to do? That demon is coming back and having more with it if we can't get that person filled with the Holy Spirit and have them born again and filled with Almighty God on the inside of them. Now, watch this. Let's go to our next set of verses. 1 Peter 1:4. No, 1 Peter 1:3-4. 1 Peter 1:3-4. 1 Peter 1:3-4. This set of verses needs to become one of the most powerful sets of verses that you get into and that you look at and that you memorize. It's not about memorization. It's about speak it till it rings so true down in your heart that your whole life is transformed forever. Here we go. Let's go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now watch. We just saw in Romans 8:16-17 that we have now become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. So let's read it again. Blessed be the God and Father. He's our Father, of which we are an heir. So he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. We were unworthy for what we have.
Yeah.
While we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. We were unworthy of this. Now that we're in the kingdom, we got to find out what we're kingdom worthy of and then become all that God has designed us to become here on this earth. He has begotten us again to a living through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, what was it? That verse matches Romans 8:11, where we were a few minutes ago. The same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead. That same Holy Spirit is living on the inside, raising your spirit man up from the dead, producing life in a body that the enemy's trying to kill, steal, and destroy, and producing the life and understanding that you are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. Help me reign in this life.
Amen.
Woo! The last thing that our Father wants is another church that will get 18,000 people in it and build a big deal and tell them the only thing you need to do is get saved. He don't need any more of those on the face of this earth. Don't throw anything at me, I'll throw it back. Pastor, why would you say that? Because I've always said that's erroneous in its process. I'm getting ready to begin to say that is damaging and dangerous to believe that statement, that the only thing you got to do is get saved. Because it's just not true. Jesus didn't get you saved so you can walk around saying, I've been born again. Have you? Born again to what? Born into this kingdom to what? For what? To be a card-carrying member? Card-carrying members sit around and argue and bicker and fight about, I want my way, I want my way, I want my way. But you don't get your way in this kingdom. You lay down your Christ, your cross, and you pick up Jesus' cross and follow him and help him conquer on this earth.
Amen.
You have been brought again to a living hope through the resurrection of the dead, of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now watch. Verse 4, to an inheritance. Say it with me. What is in my inheritance? Actually, somebody just type it in. What is in my inheritance that belongs to me? What is in my inheritance that belongs to me? Since I have an inheritance, because you can't say if any longer. You and I have to say, I have an inheritance. I better figure out what's in this inheritance. Why? Because on the other side, Jesus isn't going to look at you as a Christianese. Jesus isn't going to look at you as a churchgoer. When you stand before Jesus for judgment, you're not going to be judged on did I measure up to a standard and level of Christianese-ness to a church. The judgment's going to be on, have I become what I was supposed to become on this earth for my Father so that I can enter in and I can see and know and be and bring other people to the understanding. You didn't just get born into a church. You were born into a family, the family of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. That's what you were born into. And here's the reality. The bottom line is, that is so huge, most people never ever really get the reality of it. Most people never even get it. Because you got to now begin to break this down. Look at 4. 1 Peter 1, 4. To an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away. It's reserved for you in heaven. For what? Well, not so when you get there you have a mansion to live in for eternity and do nothing. So you use those gifts, talents, and ability that God put in you for this earth, right here, right now, to go change people's lives and make a difference on this earth in their life and transform them with the word of God and grace that he's put on the inside of your heart. Woo!
Amen. So let's join.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you and I begin to think about this, at the depth of what God said it, you and I know from the book of Isaiah that he said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And My ways are high above your ways. But he didn't keep it hidden so that we couldn't find where it is or come to an understanding of it. Isaiah 55:8. Thank you, Lord. God said, my ways are high above your ways, but I've made you an heir. I want you to learn my ways till you get to heaven. When you get in this kingdom, it is so you can come to an understanding of who God is on the inside of you. Thank God you put a fish symbol in your back window. That's cool. Put you a bumper sticker on that says, I love God. Don't you want to be like me? Do it. But then live it and come to an understanding that you and I are representing another nation on this earth. We are God's representatives of heaven on earth. And in that, you and I got to get into the inheritance, find out what's in it, and then do and be what he called us to. Look at Luke.
Amen.
Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. This is just after the story of Zacchaeus. Luke 19:11-13. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. They were all looking for the Messiah to come back, and even though he was standing in front of them, they couldn't see him. And yet, they're still looking for the Messiah to come. Well, some thought when he came, he was bringing the earthly kingdom. Others thought that when he came, there would never be another kingdom that would ever overcome him. Some thought it was talking about when he comes back, it's for the eternal kingdom. That's what Enoch said, which would be their dispensation of the Old Testament. But Jesus is there, and he's going to tell us about the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That's Jesus, the noblest of all men. He's going to a faraway country to inherit the kingdom that belongs to him and to return. Now watch what he does. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business until I come. Did you notice he didn't say, do ministry? That's right. It's scratch-worthy. It's scratch-worthy. God is expecting you and I to do the work of the ministry, the work of business and commerce, industry. And as we do that, bring his kingdom to this earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy
will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right here, right now, today. And verse 13 shows us that God chose his servants and he gave them a talent. 10 minas, this is money. but he gives us everything we need. And said to them, do business till I come. Well, what is that? We're going to meet somebody who's just living life, going, and they're going to be like, you have something I don't have. Yes, I am an heir of a kingdom. What you see on me is the abundance of the kingdom shining through to you. What you see is the love and joy and peace of our Father. What you see is the mercy and grace and wisdom and strength of our Father. What you see is the life filled with strength and honor and might and power and dominion. That's what you see on you. I know some people are like, well, I got born again, and don't you want to be it too? And then he goes back and lives like those people that are just got born again, and nothing ever changes. Nobody ever grows and develops, gets a better understanding. And we've created a big religious society that knows nothing about flowing in the power of God and in the ways of God. You and I are supposed to be moving mountains. Right now, this whole thing going on with the truck drivers around the world, you and I are supposed to be in the background praying that thing through for them all the way. Amen. You might not know how to drive a semi and be downtown Ottawa or Washington, D.C., but you and I know how to use the word of God, drive this word of God, take this word of God into the heavenlies and bring the kingdom to this earth using these men and women's strength and courage to stand against tyranny. Well, Pastor, do you really think that's what it is? Yeah. That's why right here in this community of faith, I teach you every time you drive down the road in your car, speak life and life more abundantly to everyone around you as you're going. You got to say, I am a life broadcaster. I speak life to this community. I speak life to the leadership, the mayor and the city council members and the sheriff and the city police and the judges and the attorneys. I speak life, no more death, no more death.
Amen. Life, life, life.
See, it's so much more than just being a Christian. It's so much more. Now think about it. Not only did he save us, born us again, but he gave us 66 books that is filled with who he is. It's filled with who he is. And I'm not remembering the verse, but it's one of the major prophets said. God said, do I get glory out of the death of the wicked? Well, he stops wickedness. But when they die, he has no more ability to reach him for the kingdom of God.
Right.
And to our Father, he's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to know him. Even the most wicked, perverse, vile there has ever been, our Father wants those people to know him. Let me find a verse here. Hosea Chapter 3, verse number 1, and I'm just going to make a reference. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover, and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans.
Wow.
Now, got one of my big notes out of the way. Pastor, what in the world is this? This is God, our Father, by the Holy Spirit, saying to the prophet Hosea. Say it with me. He is a prophet.
He is a prophet.
God just told him to go love a woman who is in adultery. That woman was his wife. How much does God love someone? God told this prophet, go love your wife in adultery with another lover. Go love her and buy her back from that slave. God told the prophet Hosea, who is in the Bible, yes, that's the book for me, righteous, holy before God, go do this. How much does God love people? He loves us so much that he gives us an incorruptible inheritance that cannot fade away, will actually be there forever, that you and I can count on more than you can count on your Social Security check, your paycheck from your company, the love of your own physical brothers and sisters, and all the systems of the world that have seemed trustworthy up until now, and we see they're all falling to absolutely pieces.
Yeah.
But this word does not fail. Right now today, somebody's getting a woman with the issue of blood miracle right now as we speak.
Hallelujah.
Right now, somebody somewhere around the world is getting a brand new set of eyes. Right now, somewhere around the world, somebody's being healed from cancer and AIDS and COVID. Right now, God has just provided somebody a brand new home, completely paid for cash, owe no money on it. That is happening right here, right now, around the world, in many different areas. Why? Because they looked at this kingdom and said, who are you in this world, Father? Help me see it. Help me understand it. Help me know it, so that I can be found diligently chasing down what you want me to have, so that I am doing business until you come. Think about it. God doesn't hate a single person. He loves you. It doesn't even matter where you've been or who you've been. He loves you with an everlasting love that cannot fail. But not just so you'll get born again and act like a little bunch of born againies over here at this little groupie. No, so that we'll be born again into Jesus, into the Holy Spirit, into the Word of God. We'll receive the download of who God is on the inside of us, and we'll take it out and share it all over this earth. That is a really great big wowzer right there.
Yeah, amen.
That is all-encompassing. That transforms your life into a whole new picture when you wake up every day and say, Father, I am your ambassador on this earth today. Whose life do I go change today? And you go change somebody's life. Pastor, what if I'm broke? Or what if I'm physically unable to do that? Then you use this book and your born againness with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you until the broke goes away and the sickness goes away, and you can go function like every other healthy and strong and prosperous person on this earth every day of your life.
Amen.
Do you notice that it doesn't record people who died and they were broke? But there's all kinds of record in the Bible of people who lived a good life for God and used their gifts, talents, and abilities all day long, every day, everywhere they go, no matter what. You know, Back in the day, church was on Sunday, and then on Wednesday, and a youth meeting on Friday, and the choir would get together, sing a few hymns, and practice on Saturday, and we'd come back and have church on Sunday. And that was churchianity. But that's not what God wanted, and that's not what he wants. Did he get lots of people born again? Yes, most certainly he did. Did he love every one of them? Yes, most certainly he did. And to every single one of them, he said, you're an heir. You're an heir. You're an heir. Hey, hey, do business. Occupy means advance, hold. Advance, hold. Advance, hold. In the day we live, everybody's job 25 years ago, most people's job 25 years ago was Monday through Friday, work 5 hours overtime on Saturday, take Saturday night off, and come to church. Well, everybody, you can get to church. But in the day we live, businesses are running 24/7. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody's going to work on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's a lot of people that is their work schedule is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they have the whole week off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who only work nights. So you and I, the church, have got to become 2022 effective. We got to be able to reach this generation. You got to reach the young people that work from, 6 o'clock at night to 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's a weird schedule, Pastor. I know. But what they've taught this generation is, do what makes you feel the best, and then you'll be able to function there. And we'll create this job for you on that schedule. Well, all right. So they did it. But now, you and I got to reach that generation with Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
And a man with a church building is not going to be able to have a church meeting at 10 in the morning and at 7 at night every night until he gets it established. And then that happens. That's the power of what goes on right here. You and I make it possible for anybody who wants to be able to be connected to us at any time, day or night. Anytime. Because from this ministry time that we have right here, we put out excellent, cutting-edge teachings from the Holy Spirit of how to get you from where you are to where you're going so that God can be a blessing to you and through you to everybody who's around you. We're on the cutting edge. It is so important to see that this cutting edge is in the heart of God as much as building the huge church cathedrals he built in downtown cities all over America when America was being established. I love them. Don't you think they're beautiful?
Oh, yeah.
I love them. I've always said I want one of those with a big pipe organ and a big orchestra and a lead guitar and a drum set. Now, that puts it all together, a pipe organ, a drum set, and a band. I mean, and a choir and a orchestra and a band. That puts all music together. You'll come out of that feeling like you were singing with the birds, man. But as much as God helped a man design a pipe organ, even though that's a lost art in our day, God's reaching the people today that's never even heard a pipe organ. Would walk in that building and say, what are those weird pipes behind that pulpit up there? Kids today would say, well, that's really weird art. What is that?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Just give them a second and you'll see what it means. Pipes coming off of an organ that just magnify and exemplify the praise of our God. Thank you, Jesus, that you said to us, occupy until I come. And now I have the ability that the sharing of my faith may become effective, because I'm not just asking you to get saved and join our Christian club. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, Second Corinthians 5:17 says that we're beseeching you on behalf of God come and be involved in this kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, our hour of faith is up.
It goes so fast.
It goes so fastly. And fastly is a word. You'll find it in the Samuel J. Cottle Dictionary of Excellent English Words. It goes so fastly. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have spoken this word today, your word. And we've just scratched the surface of it. We ask you today, as your sons and daughters, heirs of the kingdom you want on earth, help us see this big picture and become it. Help us see it and become it. Help us see it and function in it and truly reach this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ at whatever cost, forsaking it all so that we can see this kingdom established on this earth. Your righteousness, your joy, your peace, your life, your blessing, your abundance, your mercy, your grace, your victory, the conquer that belongs in our hands and in our hearts and in our minds and in our mouths. We receive it from you. We receive it from you and we become it. And we are occupying on this earth until you come. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Somebody say it with me. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Want to make it a declaration again? Lord.
Lord.
Use me.
Use me.
To conquer this world.
To conquer this world.
And bring your dominion.
And bring your dominion.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, every time we come together on 1 hour of faith, we always receive the communion elements. So get your communion elements and let's receive the new covenant worship today.
Yeah.
I like how that sounds, the new covenant worship. Now, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 28, 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. You're proclaiming, he did it for me. He bought me. He paid for me. I'll do for him. Verse 28. What's the process? Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, as Jesus is on the throne, the head of the church, so are we on this earth, ruling and reigning with him. That's pretty cool. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love. And there's no fear in the communion elements unless you came here to mock God. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years, the church has preached that verse 27 says, if you've sinned, you better not take this. But that's not what it's saying at all. If you read the full context, which is verses 17 through 34, the full context was these people were coming and they were eating and drinking, getting drunk, and drinking so much of the communion juice and eating so much bread that they were eating it all up before the others came and got to be a part of it. And God is saying, if you come doing this and mocking God, then you're going to drink to yourself damnation. And you don't want to do that. But he gave us a simple answer, Paul did. When you come together, examine yourself while you're here. I don't preach that verse 27 much because that's not the important verse of the chapter.
Yeah.
The important verse of the chapter is verse 28. When you sit down with the communion elements in your hand, examine yourself first. Pray a prayer of consecration to God. You will never be wrong. Why? Because you examined yourself first. And now, he said, receive the cup, eat the bread, and receive the cup, and be a part of God's body. It doesn't matter who you are today. We're going to pray a prayer of salvation, prayer of rededication. That prayer will make you right with God. It does not matter who you are or where you come from. Who are listening to me today, live, or someone in the future. It won't matter. Because if you mean this prayer from the depths of your heart, you will be right with you. You will. Ready? Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe.
Jesus, I believe in you.
That you are the Son of God.
That you are the Son of God.
And I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my life.
Right now.
Right now.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. That's the first time you prayed that prayer. You should be experiencing right now an experience filling you. Most people say, when I made that statement, I felt warm, like hot oil, warm water was going all over me. Well, that's God Almighty filling you. Coming in and filling you. That's what that is. You are now born again. You are now born of God. You now have access to everything I just taught for the last hour. You are now right with God. And now in prayer, you went from darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and transferred into the kingdom of light. You're no longer in the darkness. even though it might be all around you, you're now the kingdom of light. You went from fear to faith because fear, sin produces fear. You're afraid of death. You go to hell. But now you're filled with faith because Jesus came in and he's the author and finisher of your faith. So you're filled with faith. I didn't know this, Beth. I know. And now he took, you had sin you couldn't beat. He filled you with righteousness, which obliterates that sin. He's thrown your sin into the sea of his forgetfulness just by you saying, I want you to be in my life. I receive you today, Jesus. Isn't that just amazing? I think it's absolutely amazing. Now the Father looked over at Jesus and said, adopt that one into the family. You're now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. All in one prayer. You'll spend the rest of your life learning how to walk in being an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You'll spend the rest of your life. Guess what? It's all right. It's okay. And it's actually pretty awesome what God just did for you. And you don't have to worry about someday, will I ever know who God is? He lives on the inside of you. Begin to build a daily life and walking with God Almighty. And right here is what we teach you how to do it. How to do every single day that we come on this program. We're teaching you how to walk with God and build that daily understanding of who he is. Think about it. You now have a senior partner who knows everything. He knows it all.
He does.
He knows it all. Wow. And he lives on the inside of you. Learn to hear his voice. Learn to read his word. Learn to fellowship with him. And he will guide your steps. And you'll take steps. And those steps will explode your future in front of your eyes into ways you never even knew was possible. Somebody shout glory, hallelujah. Put my email address and website in there so you have the ability to contact us. I encourage you. Send me an email and say, hey, Pastor, I just made a decision to follow Jesus. Do it. And I'll send you an email back. God bless you. How can I help you walk with God? We got all kinds of material. We got all kinds of videos and Facebook and YouTube we can send you that will be a blessing to you and will guide you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you'll, next thing you know, you'll be like this totally transformed different person, and people will say, what happened to you? And you say, I met God. Don't say I got born again. Say, I met God and he lives within me. That's what happened to Abraham. That's what happened to Isaac. That's what happened to Jacob. All three of them had an experience with God. God met him in the past. That's what happened to Moses. We're reading about Moses right now and read the word. That's what happened to you. But he didn't stop talking to you or need your help when you got born again. Now, let's receive our communion elements together. If you're new to this, that would be grape juice. And that would be bread. That's the design of God. Fruit of the vine and broken bread. And whatever you got right there close to you today, use that. One man said, I got Cheez-Its and a Gatorade. Well, that'll work. And then work at getting you some grape juice in your house and some bread so that you can receive this together with us in Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Pray this with me. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
And sanctify them.
And sanctify them.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint in my body supplying.
Every joint in my body supplying.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And in this community of faith.
And in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's receive the broken body of Jesus together. Thank you. Thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
All things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the very throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over my life.
Has to pass over my life.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Lord.
Let's sing this song together. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hands to heaven. We exalt your mighty name. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hearts to heaven. We exalt your mighty name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we are so much more than just a Christian. But we are heirs with you, God our Father. and join heirs with Jesus, establishing your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 And amen. And amen. And amen. Well, I never got to see much of our sister Sunday. And for all of you that joined us over here and Facebook, glad to have you with us. Thank you, Sister Rebecca, for your help. Brother Roger, making comments. Brother Al, guess I can't see very good over there. I command you to stop making a mess with my screen.
Thank you guys all for being here. Have a wonderful day.
Wow. There we go. Roger and Rebecca, Brother Al, Michael Carr, welcome, welcome, welcome. Courtney Meyer, Mir, welcome. Glad to have you with us. Phyllis K. Raymond, yeah, Phyllis, all right. You just have to pull out the list and go back through it because I love having everybody here. I appreciate you taking out of your time to come and be with us and bringing your supply here today.
Amen.
Because your supply is very much a very needed force here.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Because when you and I show up, it's not it's not about what I'm doing or me. It's not about, ooh, we got a ministry we're actually doing. It's about there are people all around us, everywhere in our life. And we've got to find a way to minister life to them. And for all of our gifts and talents and abilities to be used right up to the last day that we're on this earth. When we've lived our full years, our long life, filled with happiness, joy, and peace and health. And then we take off and head for heaven, or Jesus comes in the rapture to get us. All right. Well, it's good to see you guys. Thank you for making it possible for us to have a day off to just be with God. As you can tell, we just went totally silent. We turned the phones off, let them sit, and just was in God's presence. And what a powerful time that was for us.
Yes,
in Jesus' mighty name. God wants you to be an heir and a joint heir and function as that heir every day on this earth. Till we see you again tomorrow morning for noon prayer, rebuilding the walls of righteousness. This is what we tell you every time. Remember this, you are a life warrior. Take life into your community and broadcast it with your broadcast through your lips. And God's blessing will be in your life. In Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. We want you to know this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves
you.
And Jesus is Lord.